Does anybody really know what time it is? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
As always, Barry, looking forward to bringing people the information that they want or need to know what to do.
Well, again, I'm glad you clarified that because maybe many people don't always want all the information that we give them, but they're going to get it anyway if they listen to our program. We had talked on yesterday's program that we record this usually the day before it airs, and so we didn't have all the particulars on the pending announcement by President Barack Obama of sweeping measures to address, quote-unquote, gun violence in America. Well, this is Wednesday night, and we're recording this for Thursday, so we now know what the president is planning on doing. Well, sort of, I guess, Charles, because much of the policy directives in the proposal that he aired on Wednesday evening, while surrounded by little school children, handy little prop there, is in a document called Now is the Time, the President's Plan to Protect Our Children and Our Communities by Reducing Gun Violence. Well, Charles, this document, all, I believe, what, 15 pages of it, is basically a rough outline of some sweeping measures that the president envisions having Congress do for him more often than not, because I think, honestly, Chuck, even with all of the saber rattling and the arrogant pomp that led up to this unveiling of this document, I think maybe the president and even some of his advisors have realized you could only go so far with an executive order, and when you start trying to create new policy for the country with an executive order, you have now created a constitutional crisis. But that's not going to stop Barack Obama. He has rolled out this plan, and he's basically said, and I quote from the document, "We won't be able to stop every violent act, but if there is even one thing that we can do to prevent any of these events, we have a deep obligation, all of us, to try." That sounds good, doesn't it, Chuck?
One thing we have to keep in mind here is, first of all, the federal government has no power to do the things that Barack Obama wants it to do. And the entirety of this proposal is essentially to infringe the rights of Americans. And it's not just infringing the right to keep and bear arms. Partly what's going on is an infringement of the right to be secure in your persons, papers, buildings, and effects. In other words, the Fourth Amendment. This is getting closer and closer and closer and closer to mandatory mental health requirements.
Well, and we will get into that because, yeah, they are trying to create the bridge here. But honestly, Charles, even just looking, then, and again, folks, I've just turned off of the cover page and I'm on to page one of this little 15-page proposal. The president has already, and his handlers and whoever wrote this for him, has already contradicted themselves and have exposed some more of what they're actually up against. As I read just a minute ago, they're going to try to prevent these events. In other words, he's talking about these violent acts and school shootings, et cetera. And they even list these tragic mass shootings in Newtown, Aurora, Oak Creek, Tucson. He goes into a number of them and talks about these common sense steps that they can do, which includes closing background checks, supposedly keep guns out of dangerous hands, in other words, tightening up background checks, banning military-style assault weapons, which are still left undefined by the president, and high-capacity magazines, and taking other common-sense steps, still left undefined by the president, to reduce gun violence. The third one, making schools safer. Okay, well, we'll talk about more of why the federal government shouldn't be involved in schools in the first place, much less how they really can't do much to make schools safer. And, of course, what you were talking about, increasing access to mental health services. Then he goes into another little paragraph soliloquizing about why they need to do this, and this is where he really exposes himself. He says, "While no law or set of laws will end gun violence, it is clear that the American people want action." I'm not sure that's totally clear, Chuck, but here it is. Here's the kicker. He says, "If even one child's life can be saved, then we need to act." You see, now we've gone from trying to prevent an event to, well, we know we can't really prevent any of them, so if we can just save one child out of however many might get killed, we got to do all this. So he's already moved the bar. He's moved the bar from trying to prevent the events to saying, we know we can't really do that, but now we use the excuse, well, if we could just save a child's life. See, they're already changing the argument, Chuck.
Well, they have to change the argument because it has no traction. And you'll notice that one of the things that we read in one of these things, I think in this particular thing that the White House put out called Now is the Time, there's some rhetoric that basically since Newtown, 900 people have already met a violent end of their life with a gun. Well, the fact is that around 60% of those 900, and by the way, that 900 is a statistical statement. It really doesn't have anything to do with any numbers that are being kept that close. About 60% of those people ended their own lives with the gun. So can we necessarily say that this is a violent gun death? Well, of course it is. The gun was the tool. But they could just as easily have taken a handful of pills, run a hose from park the car in the garage and left the motor running and go to sleep and have it kill you. There are any number of ways people choose to kill themselves. They might hang themselves. Pick something. So this is disingenuous. Are there violent gun acts that cause people to come to a bitter end of their life or some kind of debilitating injury? You bet there are.
Absolutely.
And those. The fact is, Barry, one of the problems we have in this society is that we don't punish it. If you use a gun, do you automatically get the death penalty in most states?
No, most states you actually would not be automatically giving the death penalty.
Well, okay, let's talk about New York. New York long ago lost its death penalty for anything except killing a cop. Now, why the cops or a federal agent? Why the police or the federal agents are some kind of privileged people who are more important? And that's exactly what they're saying. You and I, if we were murdered with a gun or by any method, if we were macheted or knifed or whatever, run over with a car on purpose, you know, premeditated murder, we're not worthy of a death penalty. But a policeman is. Now, explain that to me. You can't. And the fact is that Joe Blow, who goes out and becomes irrational and chooses to use a weapon to kill someone, knows in the back of his mind he doesn't face the death penalty in certain states. In other states, he's not so sure. And what do you know? The death rate from murder is lower in those states, Texas being one. You do a first-degree murder in Texas, you're probably going to go get the injection. And what is Texas most criticized for in the media? They're criticized for actually using the death penalty.
That's right, for actually carrying out, well, maybe not quite so much biblical justice, but close enough to it for this country.
Exactly. Now, where are other states that have high gun death but low death penalty use or no death penalty use? Well, how about California? How about a number of the eastern seaboard states? I don't think Massachusetts has a death penalty. Washington, D.C. doesn't have a death penalty unless you kill. I think you can get it for killing someone in government.
So you mean places like Aurora, Colorado, and Newtown, Connecticut, there is no death penalty for using a gun violently?
Well, there is at least practically no death penalty, and by that I mean chances of you actually getting the death penalty are slim to nil. So we're setting up a situation where murderers and potential murderers know they're not going to get the death penalty. Now, some of these deranged guys are looking to be killed. Well, let's take that back, because virtually all of them kill themselves rather than allow themselves to be killed by the police or someone else who is armed. If you'll recall the Clackamas Mall shooting, where the fellow came in and decided to shoot a bunch of people in the mall, that was stopped by someone who had a concealed carry permit. That shooter shot himself rather than be shot by the concealed carry guy. So there is something going on, and frankly, I think a lot of these guys are training up on violent video games. Now, people are coming out and saying, you'll notice that there's nothing in here about violent video games. Well, a lot of people are accusing me of being a censor, and I'm saying to them, no, I don't think the federal government should censor these. I think parents should censor these. And if enough people stop buying them, they'll no longer be made.
That's correct.
And therein lies the rub, Barry. We have created this undercurrent of violent behavior in our youth, and we look the other way while they play Call of Duty and, what is it, Assassin's Creed, and even Grand Theft Auto. Death Race 2000 was one that was out when I was a kid. That was a video game, and they made it into a movie, which was it's actually so violent and bad, it's kind of funny. But that being said, it's only funny because you'd shown that to audiences 50 years ago, people would have gotten sick and left the theater.
True.
So we're sensitized to it. So the White House is basically using this crisis to increase its own power and authority. Well, let's just say power. They don't have the authority, but they have the power. And you made a statement that it doesn't seem necessarily that there's a will out there for these things. Well, there's an AP poll, and we need to report this carefully. The AP poll says that 60% of the people want the government to quote-unquote do something. Well, I want to know what the questions were, how they were asked, where they were asked, what's your sample, is it truly random? I doubt it. I'll be quite honest, I doubt it. And this is one of those things. If 60% of the people want to legalize, they want to be able to do Peter Singer's thing and kill their new children up to the age of 2, does that mean we should implement that program? That's a ridiculous question.
Sure, absolutely is.
This is that democratic ideal thing. The fact is, the Constitution is clear. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That does not mean that the individual states, like New York just did, can't ban the ownership of weapons. In which case, if you want to continue to own weapons, you move to another state.
You move to New Jersey or wherever, or any other state, or Texas for that matter.
Move to Texas or Wyoming. In fact, if you believe in what Wyoming is doing with attempting to do nullification and the same for Texas, you move to Texas. We've gotten out of the habit, Barry, of voting with our feet. And it's difficult in this society. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't pack up and move tomorrow. But I would be more than willing, if Ohio were to start fooling around with my right to keep and bear arms and to protect myself, I would seriously begin to look at the possibility of moving to one of those states out west.
Well, I can understand that. But again, with Barack Obama's sweeping visionary movement toward how a life should be in this country, there'd be no place you could go to where you wouldn't outrun the administration snooping into what you're doing.
Oh, well, no. And I know it's broken.
And again, as I said, I think that his handlers and the people around him understood that they could create a constitutional crisis. So what he's doing really with many of these incentives, and there were 23 specific policy proposals that were put forth by the president, and the ones that he could do something about, such as directing federal agencies to share records that they have on certain things like mental health issues or incarceration disabilities with the ownership of firearms, etc. He's doing that through what he's calling presidential memorandum, not calling it an executive order, by the way, because then there'd be a separate level of legal scrutiny in relation to that. But he's going to have a memorandum directing many of his agencies, which he has the authority to do this, Charles, to identify the records they have and make them available and put them into the background check system that was created under the Brady Bill. And then he's going to be looking at, we're going to make legislative and executive recommendations. They're very careful not to overstep and say, we're going to tell Congress what to do. We're just going to recommend now to ensure dangerous people aren't slipping through the cracks. I shudder at the idea of dangerous people because that's a very subjective phrase. Again, the whole issue of a mental health screening. You know, Chuck, we've seen personality profile tests. We've seen the National Youth Risk Behavior Surveys. We've seen many of these quote-unquote mental health tools been put forth through our schools, through other places. Even going to your doctor's office, where the doctors are now starting and have been for a while, peppering you with questions about, well, do you own guns? How many guns do you have in your house? Where do you keep your gun? Do you have them locked away with trigger guards? Well, they want to voluntarily get certain private entities like federal firearms licensee dealers and medical professionals who, under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, are not supposed to be giving away any of this personal information because it's all supposed to be private, really. But those are the records that will probably end up getting shared with the background check folks, and then they can create a profile. And it's that profile that they'll use to determine who's dangerous or not.
Well, Barry, this whole thing, we're essentially out of time here. In fact, I think we're going to have to come back tomorrow and discuss it.
Yeah, we'll get into some more details tomorrow.
That being said, we are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.